Today, one of our elders is going to be installed for official service among us at Providence Reformed, reinstalled to serve us again as elder in this church. For the special occasion, dear saints in Christ, we have a sermon that I pray will help us all to understand that in God's church, whether we are in leadership or in subjection to leadership, it is vital that we walk, every one of us, in humility under God, in humility toward one another. So the sermon title today, Humble Leadership and Humble Subjection. Let's read the living and holy word of God from 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Word of God from 1 Peter 5. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, we human beings do not merely want to see God's glory. We really want a taste of that glory. We want to taste some of that glory for ourselves. This is why we are generally not content with just living life, merely existing. No, we're after honor instead of shame. We prize strength, not weakness. We're after success, the only other option being failure. Our desire for glory, you may be surprised to hear this, it's really not the problem. We've been created for glory. I think you see evidence in our passage that we are going to be partakers in God's glory. Peter says it twice in our very passage. We are designed and in Christ redeemed for glory. That's really not the problem. The real problem is that in the foolishness of our sinful pride, we imagine that self-exaltation is the way to glory. It's what we find in the beginning with our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the Apostle Peter shows us in this very passage that it still lingers in our hearts as Christians. Sinful pride and self-exaltation. And this is why the apostle found it necessary to give us such a, well, you might say a repetitive exhortation to be humble, right? It is indeed the word that holds everything together here. Humility. Proud self-exaltation endangers the soul of every sinner. For God opposes the proud, right? Proud self-exaltation also threatens to corrupt the church of Christ, threatens to turn the ministry into something very un-Christian. So our theme today, friends, there is a crown of glory for a faithful ministry characterized by humility that accords with the gospel and pleases our God. Again, there is a crown of glory for a faithful ministry characterized by humility that accords with the gospel and pleases God. That word ministry may lead you to think of that shepherding work of pastors and elders in the church, you know, men whom the Lord God calls to practice a humble leadership. And that's very evident in this passage. But the apostle does not stop there. In verse 5, he tells younger Christians, notice, you younger ones are to be subject to the elders, rather. And then it goes on in verse 5, all of you clothe yourselves with humility. And Peter is still not done. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Peter makes it abundantly clear that in the Christian ministry, which all of us believers are supposed to share in our serving God and one another and the world around us, it is vital that we walk in humility. And what is that? Well, of course, humility is the opposite of pride. In our sinful pride, we have a tendency as sinners in our pride to think too highly of ourselves, to think too much of ourselves, so that we practice self-exaltation. And as a result, we do not have a mind to serve others. We don't think much of them. We scarcely have the desire to serve them and build them up and bless them and advance them in genuine love for their good and for the glory of God. That's what comes from our pride and self-exaltation. Well, humility is just the opposite of that. It's to think proper, lowly thoughts about ourselves. To count God and others more important than ourselves. And that translates into true Christian ministry, loving service that we give each other in our joint service unto God. It's this ministry characterized by humility. Dear brothers and sisters, we could characterize the ministry with so many words, very biblical words and ideas, but we're going to focus today on humility. It's the ministry characterized by humility that pleases God. And it pleases him precisely because it accords with his character as revealed in Jesus, his Son, our Savior. Our Savior who obtained glory for himself and for you and me by becoming the slave of all. Emptying himself. Humbling himself even to the point of death on the cross for our salvation. It's because of that humility, that faithful service in humility and self-denial, that God the Father highly exalted him and seated Christ Jesus on a glorious throne as King over all, Paul says in Philippians 2. Through his gospel grace in Christ, God gives you and me who believe in his Son Jesus remission of sins. So we have forgiveness of all our pride, praise God. He also gives us rescue out of the bondage of sin. So that, you know what, brothers and sisters, we have freedom from the pride of our hearts. We are made free by the Spirit from the power of pride, so that we become true children of God, humbly working out our salvation in fear and trembling before our God. Also words from Philippians 2, right? But of course, we're in 1 Peter 5, so let's turn to our passage and take a closer look here. Verse 6, we're going to look at the second paragraph here. First of all, Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And then a great word of comfort, verse 10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his, notice, his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as we think about that paragraph, friends, I want you to have this in mind. In the midst of suffering, my first point this morning, in the midst of suffering and temptation, weak sinners must humbly submit to God's wise and gracious dominion. Two basic ingredients for true humility, right? There are things we often forget in our pride. But first of all, who God is, and secondly, what we are. Look, brothers and sisters, we're not just finite creatures, right? We're fallen sinners. And due to human sin, we live in a world that is subject to futility and decay so that daily we face all kinds of anxieties. Worse yet, the devil is at work with all of his dark servants to bring more rebellion into the world, more ruin and death into the world. And those dark servants, along with Satan himself, want nothing as much as your demise. Who among us is so foolish to think that he or she can handle all of this? I've got a long way to go in putting my pride to death. But I can confess to you today, brothers and sisters, there is no way I stand for one day in true Christian service without casting my burdens on the Lord God and resisting the forces of darkness by faith in my Savior Jesus Christ. The Christian ministry, which you and I share, takes place in the context of our sinful weakness and spiritual warfare. If that doesn't humble you this morning, I don't know what will. Ministry takes place in the context of our sinful weakness and great spiritual warfare. That ought to humble us before God and humble us in heartfelt dependence upon our mighty God, who is a most wise and gracious King over his people. And that's the other key ingredient for humility, right? Not only the knowledge we need about ourselves, but also a personal knowledge of the only true God. Peter concludes verse 11 by giving us this doxology: to God be dominion forever and ever. Amen. But see, this is vital for maintaining humble dependence upon God. To recognize in all our circumstances that God reigns. That while we are in and of ourselves only weak sinners, God is a mighty and holy King who rules in sovereign dominion over all, which means that all the troubles that cause you concern and anxiety are totally under his control. It means that all those dark forces that are seeking to devour you are really like a bunch of pets caged up in God's zoo. It means that all of our suffering in this present evil age comes not by chance, but by the hand of our most wise, powerful, loving Father in heaven. And he uses all of those things, not for our ruin, but for our refinement. So that we, who are of ourselves weak sinners, would grow into godliness more and more through a living faith in our Savior, Christ Jesus. In verse 10, we read that he is the God of all grace who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. Listen, dear saints, with the blood of his own Son, our Father in heaven rescued us out of damnation, ransomed us for eternal glory. He will graciously restore his image in us. That's what Peter says. Notice again, verse 10. God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore. He will restore his image in us. He will himself confirm us in righteousness. He will strengthen us to press on through many trials. And our God will finally establish us in his glorious kingdom. We're powerless to do these things for ourselves, right? But through his grace in Christ and by the power of his Spirit, God the Father will do these things for us and in us. Hallelujah. It's a very comforting word. It's a very humbling message that should lead us to put to death every hint of proud self-exaltation that may linger in our hearts today. Humbly to wait for our gracious God to exalt us at the proper time, which of course is his to determine. And in the meanwhile, brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, we are humbly to endure suffering, not merely by recognizing God's sovereign dominion over it, but especially by depending on our God and Father to bring us through it and make us more Christ-like because of it. So verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And one of the ways that God cares for you is by joining you to his church and placing you in the charge of elders. So we move backwards here this morning to the first paragraph now in chapter 5. Notice how Peter exhorts the elders to practice humble leadership and their care of God's flock. Verse 1, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." And so, friends, secondly, God governs and cares for his people through elders who practice humble leadership as examples for the saints to follow. My second point this morning, God governs and cares for his people through elders who practice humble leadership as examples for the saints to follow. That's the kind of eldership that does a church body good. Peter learned this the hard way through terrible moral failure, if you'll recall. Though an apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter was originally a rather proud and self-exalting, self-assured man, wasn't he? He was not at all fit to be a shepherd of God's sheep in the church of Christ. Which is why the Lord Jesus himself allowed Peter to fall. And he fell hard. In fact, you know, he mentions here in verse 1 that he's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. That's unique to him as an apostle. But just think, what was going on with Peter as he was witnessing the sufferings of Christ? Denying the Lord 3 times. The guy had no business being an apostle of his own merits, of his own goodness or strength. It was all of grace. He denied the Lord 3 times. As he beheld the sufferings of Christ Jesus, he denied him. And yet his faith did not fail. And you know what? Jesus told him why. If you remember that passage, Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus prayed for him. That's why Peter's faith did not fail. By grace, this man was preserved, forgiven, and restored as a child of God, chosen and redeemed in Christ for the glory that is going to be revealed. Friends, that's how Peter gained humility. You can't, forget that story about Peter himself as you read this passage. In fact, he demonstrates his humility to some degree in the very first verse by refraining from calling himself an apostle. Instead, he refers to himself as a fellow elder. I exhort you elders as a fellow elder. Humility. Peter had learned a hard lesson, moving from pride to humility. He had become just the man to exhort men in the church of Christ to practice humble leadership. Let's consider his exhortation for a moment then. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. This should help keep us pastors and elders humble, always bearing in mind that the flock we shepherd is not our flock, that the church members in the local assembly are not our sheep. Paul told the elders at Ephesus, "Pay careful attention to yourselves, you Ephesian elders, and pay careful attention to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Acts 20:28. The sheep belong to Christ. That's why Peter goes on in our passage to call Jesus the chief shepherd. So pastors and elders are to be humble, not just because we have ourselves become sheep of Christ through his precious blood, but also because he has called us to be his under shepherds. Servant leaders. Yes, leaders in the church, to be sure. But servant leaders, because he's the chief shepherd and all the sheep are bought with his blood. And so as servant leaders, we are humbly to be under shepherds of Christ, must represent that humble Lord and reflect his loving care for his sheep. What a calling. There's never been a leader, a ruler, as humble and self-denying as our Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who willingly laid down his life for his sheep. Elders and pastors have real authority. It comes from the Lord Jesus himself. It is in that authority that we exercise oversight in governing the church, guiding you for your growth, disciplining you if necessary. But we are called to practice humble leadership that accords with the gospel. Humble leadership that accords with the leadership of Jesus. Leadership characterized by self-denial and sacrificial love in caring for precious blood-bought sheep of Christ. This is how Peter puts it in verse 2. Notice, elders are to shepherd the flock, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Church leaders can approach their ministry like a job with a list of duties to be executed in a rather perfunctory manner. Just do the work, get it done. That sort of perfunctory leadership will hurt God's sheep, because it will not be done in love for his sheep. Elders who do their shepherding out of compulsion will just go through the motions, and they will very likely resent people who make their job difficult. And that means there will be a lot of resentment, because the church is full of sinners and there's a lot of difficulty, okay? God calls us leaders in the church to exercise oversight willingly, with a heart that is truly subject to God in loving obedience. Willingness in leadership really should be marked by deep gratitude and joy, because we pastors and elders, I could bring in deacons into this as well, but we leaders in the church have this amazing privilege of serving Christ, representing Him, serving in the church as the very means by which He cares for His blood-bought sheep. Such a huge privilege. Peter also says that the shepherding is to be done not for shameful gain, out of greed, okay? Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Some leaders are paid for their labor in the church, especially those men set apart to the ministry of teaching and preaching. But whether paid or not, shepherds, both pastors and elders, under shepherds of Christ, are sinners. And in a spirit of proud self-exaltation, and yes, greed and covetousness, we might approach our work as a means of enriching ourselves, improving our situation in life one way or another. That's not Christian leadership at all. Remember on the last day, we read it earlier from Matthew 7, some will boast that they had done great religious works in the name of Jesus. And what will he say to them on that day of judgment? Depart from me, for I never knew you workers of lawlessness. In that group, you can be sure, friends, there will be church leaders who had no interest in advancing the kingdom of Christ. No interest in advancing his name and his glory and his kingdom by making disciples for him and growing disciples for him, for Jesus. No, they were really committed to self-service, self-advancement. Under shepherds of the Lord Jesus are to serve him and serve his people, Peter says, eagerly. Again, it gets to the heart. It gets to motivation. Willingness, he says, and then eagerness in the work. If we pastors and elders are blood-bought sheep of Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, we'll not use our leadership position to exalt or increase ourselves. Instead, in a spirit of humility and gratitude, it will be our desire to please our Lord Jesus, to promote his kingdom, to prosper his church. In verse 3, Peter gives us one more mark of humble leadership to all in authority in the church of Christ, but particularly to pastors and elders in the church. This is Peter's word in verse 3, to engage in that shepherding task, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. If you're domineering, you use your authority to put others beneath you and keep them beneath you, right? That's domineering. And make them know that they are lower than you. But shepherds are not slave drivers. They're not sheep drivers either. Sheep are not animals that are forcibly driven, you know, by cattle. No, that's not the case with sheep. They're led by a shepherd. Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. And what? They follow me. The Lord's under-shepherds must have authority if we are to govern God's flock, if we are to guide his sheep. But elders and pastors must use that authority by serving the sheep in love. Not domineering, but humbly serving them, leading them, that they would follow. In this way especially, we pastors and elders will be examples of Christ for the sheep to follow. Examples of Christ-like humility for all of you saints in Christ to follow. That's the goal. Peter has drawn for us a sketch here of faithful shepherding, the key mark of which, you'll want to notice, friends, the key mark of faithful shepherding in the church is not productivity, not success. You know, we want effectiveness. We want to see fruit. We should see fruit. But the key mark of it is humility. This is what pleases the chief shepherd. And when he appears, Peter says in verse 4, the Lord Jesus will, on that great day, reward humble under-shepherds with the unfading crown of glory. Pastors and elders have difficult work to do, and it's not glorious. Sometimes it seems like we're just being consumed by anxieties and spiritual warfare, not only in our own lives, in our families, but in all of yours as well. It's daunting. Not glorious. Certainly not easy. We can be tempted to make this hard, inglorious work worthwhile by looking for glory in this age. Look for a little treasure now, something that we can get our hands on right now to make it worthwhile. Brothers, it will dishonor Christ, it will damage his church. Whatever worldly glory we attain will be lost. I plead with you, as I exhort myself, not to settle for the fading treasures of the world. Instead, let us daily go to our good shepherd, Jesus, who is himself our lasting treasure, our great reward now and forever. He may give us hard work, brothers, but he's not a hard master. Keep hold on Christ as your joy. Trust him to sustain you, to work his humble mind in you so that you would serve him in faithfulness until that day when he returns and graciously grants that unfading crown of glory. One last exhortation here very briefly, friends. It helps the rest of the saints in the church to understand how you are to relate to the elders. Verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I conclude with this point. God's gracious blessing is upon those who live in humble subjection to the leaders that represent him. God's gracious blessing is upon those who live in humble subjection to the leaders that represent him. True humility begins before the face of God. Everything we're talking about this morning in connection with humility, there's no way it ever is genuine Christian humility unless it is rooted in a broken heart of repentance before the face of a holy God. Before the face of a God upon whose grace we depend for full salvation through Christ Jesus, his Son. But then our God and Savior trains us in grace to be humble toward one another, which is why Peter calls us, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Yes, humble yourselves under God, but be humble one to another in his church. Let's not miss what Peter says to younger Christians. You who are younger, he singles them out. You younger people in the church, be subject to the elders. I believe Peter exhorts the younger saints to walk in humble subjection to the elders. Maybe he means just to the older people in the church, but it says the elders. I would take this to mean those in the office of eldership. Peter says, you younger ones, subject yourselves to those elders. And I believe he gives that exhortation to the younger saints in the church, because it's those younger ones in the church, not in every case, but it is often those younger ones who adopt an independent attitude in pride. They think that they do not need the leadership of elders. The younger ones might even resist or oppose the rule of the elders, forsaking them rather than following them. Younger Christians might be particularly susceptible to that sort of proud attitude, but of course, you know this is true, dear saints. Spiritual immaturity can lead any believer of any age to walk in a proud spirit of independence. All of us need to be on guard against pride. All of us need to remember God's command that we are to live in humble subjection to the church elders, myself included, following their lead, taking heed to their biblical instruction, honoring them because of the work they do. Paul's exhortation in 1 Thessalonians 5, you don't have to turn there, but I read from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Paul says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord." No doubt, shepherds, right? Pastors and elders in the church. "And they admonish you as well," right? That's the leaders in the local assembly. Paul says, "To esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." Remember, dear saints, the work that the elders do as under shepherds is in large part the work that your chief shepherd, Christ Jesus, is doing to protect you, to feed you, to grow you in godliness so that you might be more effective in serving along with the ordained leaders in the church for the extension of God's kingdom in the world. Let us receive the humble servant leadership of our brother who is to be reinstalled as elder today. And by God's grace, may each one of us humbly subject himself to the biblical rule of elders and pastors in the church of Christ as we subject ourselves unto the Lord himself. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.